Break Midwest is at AM 720 on your radio and all smart devices by saying play WGN Chicago. Always local, always here for you. WGN. A Nexstar Media Group station.
I'm Roger Badish from the WGN Radio Newsroom. This news is sponsored by Antenna TV. Shootings in Canada and Texas and a possible deal for more relief. Those stories and more after the forecast. From the WGN Chicago Weather Center, here's meteorologist Mike Chancellor.
It's going to be a chilly night for us with mainly clear skies overhead. Temperatures drop into the mid-30s. Increase in cloud cover as we start out the work week for our Monday with breezy west-southwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Highs are expected in the lower 60s. A chance for some scattered showers moves into the area Monday evening. And it looks like we'll be turning those winds around to the northwest and becoming breezy once more. Partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid to upper 30s and continuing breezy northwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour throughout our mainly sunny Tuesday. Highs only around 50 inland, mid 40s, however, at the lakefront. Increasing clouds on Wednesday, breezy southwest winds this time with a high in the mid to upper 60s. A chance for some showers arrives during the evening, and scattered showers will continue to be in the forecast for our mostly cloudy Thursday when highs are in the low to upper 50s. Mostly cloudy to partly sunny Friday. A few isolated showers are possible. Highs in the mid to upper 50s inland, right around 50 at the lakefront. And then mainly cloudy on Saturday. The weekend starts out breezy as well. Northeast winds keep temperatures around 50 degrees by the lakefront. Mid 50s are expected inland. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mike Jansen.
Social distancing may have helped save lives during a bus hijacking in Chase near Dallas. Gunmen on the bus firing at police on a highway Sunday, bringing traffic to a standstill. An exchange of gunfire leaving the shooter dead. We get details from ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Likely because of social distancing and the stay-at-home order, roads were less traveled than usual. There was only one passenger on the bus who, like the driver, was not injured.
A mother of two and a 23-year veteran of the police force in Nova Scotia is among those killed in a shooting massacre Sunday. Canadian police say a 51-year-old man opened fire at multiple locations. Police Superintendent Chris Leather says at least 10 people have been killed, but that number could rise. And the motive for the violence is so far unknown.
He appears to have been wearing, if not all, then a portion of a police uniform, and that we believe that he was driving at one point a mock-up or a vehicle that was made to look like an RCMP police cruiser.
Police say the shooter, identified as Gabriel Wortman, was also killed. Governor Pritzker says Illinois still has not hit its peak when it comes to the number of coronavirus cases.
We thought that the peak might be in mid-April or perhaps in the third week of April, but the reality is that it now appears that it's going to be several more weeks.
Talking to WGN's Pete McMurray on Sunday, he says he's beginning to look at how to reopen the state when the stay-at-home order ends at the end of April. At Governor Pritzker's daily COVID-19 briefing, State Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike updated the effects of the virus.
There are 1,197 new cases of COVID-19 and unfortunately 33 new deaths. That brings our state total to 30,357 and unfortunately 1,290 total deaths.
At his daily coronavirus task force briefing on Sunday, President Trump came with an update on ongoing negotiations with Democrats for the next phase of relief spending. President saying a deal could be reached as soon as Monday.
We're continuing to negotiate with the Democrats to get our great workers and small businesses all over the country taken care of.
The aid package would be up to $450 billion to boost a small business loan program that's run out of money and add funds for hospitals and COVID-19 testing. Fear that the country will reopen too early, mixed with anger about stay-at-home restrictions heard at protests and counter-demonstrations across the country on Sunday. ABC's Clayton Sandell is in Denver, one of the cities where both sides in the debate are making their voices heard.
Maryland's Republican governor telling CNN the president is encouraging protests that go against his own policy, sending mixed messages.
To encourage people to go protest, the plan that you just made recommendations on Thursday, it just doesn't make any sense.
We have rights.
Colorado and other states, including Vermont and Montana, have announced plans to reopen the economy, but warned those plans will only unfold gradually.
Forecasters have put areas of the South on alert for the overnight. Severe storms, some possibly producing tornadoes, are expected in parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. This a week after tornadoes through the same regions killed dozens of people. As beaches in Florida reopened this weekend, a surprise for authorities. ABC's Dave Packer explains.
Police patrolling the beach in Jacksonville, Florida, checking to make sure that beachgoers were following the current social distancing rules, spotting a man they say was loitering close to the dunes. They approached him and identified him. The man they found on the beach, 30-year-old Mario Gatti, a suspect in the shooting death of 33-year-old Michael Coover in western Pennsylvania. Police had been looking for the suspect since the January 16th killing. Gatti taken into custody, booked as a fugitive from justice, among other charges. Dave Packer, ABC News.
WGN Sports, the Boston Marathon is supposed to take place on Monday, now postponed until September 14th. And Wayne Gretzky hopes the NHL will be able to resume at some point this summer, possibly June, July, or August. The league is considering several options on trying to resume the season, including going directly to the playoffs at several neutral sites. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, it's Lindsay of House Smarts Radio. You've heard me talk about Builder Supply Outlet for years, but now hear from their customers Mark and Joanne in Arlington Heights.
We've been in our house 27 years, and
Michelle was a real sweetheart. She worked with us.
She worked from start to finish. I mean, I would recommend her to anyone. Because the minute I got in the car after we were done with the talk, he goes, "What did you think?" And I go, "I like her." You know, she gave us the attention that I was hoping we were going to get. It's my dream kitchen. So if someone comes in and goes, "Wow, look at your kitchen," I go, "Thank you, Michelle, for helping us get where we wanted to be."
We would go back again. We're going to probably redo our bathrooms. We'll go back to Builder Supply.
It was wonderful.
Another satisfied customer. But remember, we're so much more than kitchen cabinets. Builder Supply Outlet is located just 5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview or online at buildersupplyoutlet.com.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builder Supply Outlet.
Ah, George Benson, give me the night. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we would love you to call in and talk to us. 312-981-7200. We got some classic Johnny Carson that we're always going to... We always play Johnny Carson classics at 2:30. And we're going to play a little Tim Conway from 1988. The great Tim Conway. Always hilarious. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number, and we are going to be talking with Steve Procopi and Eric Childress. They call in every Sunday night into Monday morning, and we do the Monday morning movie reviews. And obviously, there haven't been major releases and stuff because of what's going on in the world, but we always like to give you some thoughts on what to watch while you're stuck at home. I mean, we're all stuck in the house, and everybody's doing a little binge watching, so we've been going through different genres each week to give you some suggestions on what to watch when you're home. We've got thrillers we're going to be talking about with Eric and with Steve. And also, a little bit later on, Marnie Schur is going to join us. She's editor-in-chief at The Takeout, and there's a lot of really fun food-related topics that we're going to get to as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday morning, and that's what we do. And we want to hear from you. So let's get Steve and Eric on. And here's Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
And Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey there.
How you guys holding up? You go okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I said,
it's just a waiting game at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gives you lots of time to watch movies, though, I can tell you that. That's
Movies, television, more rewatching movies, whole bunch of stuff.
Yep. Well, we do have a couple of new movies that that opened. Steve, tell us about The Quarry.
Yeah, The Quarry, this is a new film from Scott Teams, who did a really good movie a couple of years ago called That Evening Sun. And this is a movie about suspicion, and no one in this sort of small Texas town really trusts anybody else, and usually it's for a good reason. The novel it's based on was actually set in South Africa, and they just transformed it to Texas. And it begins with a murder. There's sort of a nameless fugitive drifter played by Shea Whigham, who kills a traveling preacher, and he assumes his identity and shortens his name, and sort of heads to this little town called Bevel, Texas, where the preacher was meant to take over the town's one church, and we get a sense that this mostly silent drifter isn't really a bad guy, but he's clearly capable of very terrible things when he's pushed, and when this preacher sort of asked him to confess to him, that's when he kind of snapped and killed him. So anyway, he gets to this town and is immediately, his truck is broken into and everything's taken out of it, so he has to go report it to the police chief, who's played by Michael Shannon. And because not doing so would look kind of weird and suspicious, so he does it. And he's fairly certain he knows who broke into the truck, and the kids in question just happen to be the cousin of this woman where Shea Whigham's character is staying, and also happens to be the love interest of Michael Shannon's character. So did I mention this is a very small town? Anyway, so small that there probably aren't too many secrets that stay secret for very long. So Whigham's portrayal is really like the heart and soul of this thing. He's this withdrawn guy. He's fascinating to watch him sort of juxtaposition with Shannon's sort of swaggering, suspicious chief. And the two have kind of a weird reverse chemistry together. And Shea Whigham, he's like a great utilitarian actor, and he can do like comedy like nobody else. But to see him do something like this is a really nice change. And Shannon's just, you know, he's Michael Shannon. He's always great. So, but anyway, yeah. So he's clearly just having fun being like this SOB who's mostly harmless, and we love him for it. So anyway, both actors kind of feel like they're rising above this somewhat underwritten material. Sometimes that's enough to enjoy what you're watching without necessarily buying into everything you're seeing. And I think The Quarry is an easy film to sit through, but maybe a tough one to care that much about afterwards. So it's a mild recommendation.
Okay. All right. What about The Booksellers?
Yeah, The Booksellers is a terrific documentary. There's a author, Fran Lebowitz, reminded us right at the beginning that there was a time not so long ago when if you needed to kill an hour of time in a big city, you could usually just wander into a bookstore and just, you know, and the time would fly away. But those days are kind of gone. And so the film is really about the surviving indie bookstores in New York City, which are just a fraction of what they were even like 10 years ago. The film was directed by someone named D.W. Young. It's narrated by the executive producer, Parker Posey. And it sort of profiles a handful of these high-end book dealers, book scouts and collectors, and attempts to find out what their place might be in today's world. And at the same time, there's like certain younger book enthusiasts who make the claim that it's actually younger people that have gone back to reading physical materials these days, kind of in the way that they've also gone back to vinyl records. So actually physical books are making something of a comeback, and the surviving independent bookstores are seeing sort of an uptick in business these days. So all is not doom and gloom in this story. One of the people sort of bringing books back into fashion is a Pawn Stars expert named Rebecca Romney, whose knowledge is vast, even though she's relatively young. And the film sort of makes the point that for decades, the only people considered experts in the field of rare books were older white men, which that's how it was. And so there's certainly an attempt in this film to dispel that belief today and give examples of women and people of color who sort of built up an impressive collection and not just of traditionally valuable books, but literature that kind of reflects their perspective on the world. most of the people featured here are very eccentric, perhaps even odd, and it's sort of easy to see their appeal and great to kind of walk through their collections and get lost in it. As someone who's, I've never read a book on an electronic device before, so I tend to sort of scoff at the notion of bookstores disappearing entirely, but, you know, especially when a film like this makes it clear that those stores have survived because they have passionate clientele and even more devoted owners who find a way to keep the hunt alive. This particular film is available as part of the Gene Siskel Film Center's, I think it's called Film Center from Your Sofa program, and you just go to their website and find the film, and it's really easy to find out how to rent it, and a portion of their rental will benefit the Film Center.
Okay, great. Okay, that's the booksellers. Okay, guys, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric and Steve are here, and we're going to talk about thrillers. You know, we're all stuck at home and binge watching a lot of stuff on TV and movies, and we every week now we're trying to give you some suggestions on what to watch. And the subject, the genre this week is thrillers. So when we come back, we'll tell you all about a bunch of thrillers that we would like you to watch. And if you want to join us, call us at 312-981-7200. We want to have a conversation with you, so call us at 312-981-7200.
My name is David Hochberg, and I hope you and your family are safe and healthy. I help listeners recover when our economy crashed after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, when the banking industry imploded in 2008, and I'm here to help you while our doctors and scientists combat the coronavirus. If the coronavirus is prohibiting you from paying your mortgage, call your mortgage company and request a forbearance. If you have an FHA loan, this will allow you to defer up to 12 months of mortgage payments. You heard me, 12 months of mortgage payments. If you cannot pay the deferred payments after the forbearance period, FHA will provide you with an interest-free subordinate mortgage you can pay off when you either refinance or sell your home. I hope this information helps everyone with an FHA loan. If you are interested in a mortgage, please give us a call at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Tune in to Home Sweet Home Chicago, hosted by me, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 112461.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini, and I have John Rogers on the line, the president of Rogers Roofing, your trusted roofing contractor for over 50 years. John, the health and safety of homeowners and your employees is always your top priority. What is Rogers Roofing doing during these challenging times?
Lou, like most of us, we're monitoring the health concerns facing our communities. We've taken numerous actions to do our part in helping limit the spread of the virus while still providing homeowners the exceptional products and services they've come to expect. We are essential, and we are working.
So if someone has damage or is in need of a new roof or new siding, is this a good time to call Rogers Roofing?
Absolutely. We'll provide you a virtual estimate in the comfort of your own home. And our production team is following the enhanced health precaution guidelines from the CDC and practice social distancing. Plus, we're providing our very best pricing and financing ever. I want to help our customers during these trying times and keep our employees working.
Call Rogers Roofing for a free virtual estimate. 800-NEW-ROOF. That's 800-NEW-ROOF. New roof, or log on to rogersroofing.com.
Larry Potash.
Breaking news, two men are now in custody.
He's real.
How about that?
He's trusted.
Protesters are expected to return.
He's
home.
What makes watching news in the morning better.
I got the VHS tapes to prove it.
Watch Larry and the rest of the WGN-TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
You don't spend. I swear she must believe it's all hell to see.
Hey boy, you better bring a check around.
To the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down.
Yeah, man, boss Skaggs. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Yeah, man, boss Skaggs. Yeah, 312-981-7200, call us up, we want to talk. And Eric Childress and Steve Procopi are here. We review all the new movies every week. There haven't been a lot of new ones. Steve told us about a couple that you have access to at home that you can watch. But we've been giving you suggestions on what to watch while you're stuck at home. We've been picking different genres each week and, you know, giving you some titles that you can binge. while you're at home. So here's Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
And Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
All right, so we picked the genre of thrillers, which is one of my favorite genres, actually. And when they're done well, man, there's nothing better. We've got different places where you can see these things streaming-wise. So we've got Prime, we've got Netflix, we've got Hulu, we got Amazon, all of those places, and we'll tell you where you can watch these movies and to which ones that you recommend. Eric, let's start with you. Eye of the Needle, great movie. Donald Sutherland, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Sutherland is just running killer, literally, in this movie.
Yeah.
He plays, this is from 1981, he plays a German spy who has details about the Allies' plan for D-Day, and he ends up getting sort of cozied up with this family on this island, and, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to discover his identity. Kate Nelligan plays the wife, and relationship sort of forms between the two of them. This is just a really great thriller that doesn't, you don't hear a lot about these days, unfortunately. It is on Amazon Prime, and it's it was directed by Richard Marquand, who a couple years later did a little movie called Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
This one's better.
No, it's Eye of the Needle's a great movie. And I remember it got nice review. I mean, I remember Siskel and Ebert loved it. And they gave it a great review, but it just didn't make a ton of money, and it was kind of under the radar the whole time it was out there. But Steve, I'm assuming you've seen it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really terrific movie, and Sutherland is great in it.
Yep,
he's great in it. So yeah, I highly recommend Eye of the Needle too. And that's on Prime, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Steve, your first one is Mystic River.
Yeah, and I should confess that I'm pretty sure both Eric and I, when we were researching this, we were looking at the category of mysteries, not so much thrillers.
Okay.
But that being said, I came to realize very quickly that there is barely such a thing as a pure mystery. They're always cross-pollinated with something else, like thrillers or suspense or horror or even comedy. So it's saying thriller does not necessarily negate my choices. It still works, I think, for almost everything I pick. So anyway, yeah, Mystic River definitely fits in that. In the early 2000s, man, director Clint Eastwood was on a bit of a roll, like with Million Dollar Baby and Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima, and Mystic River was kind of the first of that role, and it really delivers, and it won a couple Oscars for Sean Penn and Tim Robbins. Sort of part mystery, part revenge narrative, part meditation on grief and trauma. The complexities are really, really wonderful and accessible as an exploration of sort of unbreakable links between childhood and adulthood. And even people that don't like Sean Penn that much, you know, it's sort of hard to deny what he's doing in this thing. And by a weird coincidence, I didn't do this on purpose, but three of my choices are based on Dennis Lehane books. So yeah, it's and I mean, for good reason. He also had a good run starting with starting with this film. So
yeah.
But I mean, and a lot of the other common thread in a lot of these is there are incredible ensemble casts in a lot of these films. Like, I don't know why the mystery films kind of bring that, but man, in addition to those two, you have Kevin Bacon and Lawrence Fishburne and Marcia Gay Harden and Laura Linney, like just one after the other. And so I have a feeling I'm going to be naming a lot of names in some of these discussions, but yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. And I love Mystic River. I love that movie, and it has, the ending is just, it's one of those deals where it's like, you're going to make up your own mind as to what you think is going on. It's that, just that the Kevin Bacon just has that wonderful moment at the end, end of the movie. It's just so good. And you're right, man, Clint was on a roll at that time. Yeah, no question about it. Terrific movie. All right, Eric, your next one is House of Games.
Yeah, the movie that speaking of Siskel and Ebert said that the only thing that they argued about this film was which one liked it more. And it was Rogers' number one film of 1987. It was David Mamet's directorial debut. Lindsay Krause as psychologist or psychiatrist who is gets involved with a group of con men led by Joe Mantegna. She wants to do a study of them, and as she's studying them, we get a study of them as well. And it, Mamet has certainly had a fascination with con artists, even going back to Glengarry Glen Ross. This is a real knockout of a movie, this one.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And Mantegna, I mean, they're both, Lindsay Cross and Mantegna are both amazing in it. But you got all the other guys, too. You got all the other Mamet dudes are in this one, and they're doing their thing. And I remember the first time I saw this movie, because it was the first movie that Mamet directed.
Yeah.
And you got everybody is in this. Jack Wallace. You got Ricky Jay, J.T. Walsh, for God's sake, Nussbaum. It's just
Basie shows up.
Yeah. It's a great movie and a really terrific directorial debut. Now, it's not my favorite David Mamet movie. My favorite David Mamet movie is Homicide. I still think that's like the best thing he's ever done. But House of Games is a great one. Okay. All right, Steve. You've got I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Yeah, this is a recent film that I kind of just discovered almost by accident when I realized that it never really got a theatrical release, at least not in Chicago. But it's from the director Osgood Perkins, who this is his second film after The Black Coat's Daughter, but before the very recent Gretel and Hansel. It's sort of a meditative horror film on the surface that's more sort of unsettling than outright frightening. And Ruth Wilson plays a live-in nurse who's caring for this ailing horror author, this old woman. And as she sort of discovers the truth about the writer's fiction and home, the lines between sort of the physical realm and the afterlife kind of blur. And she's telling us this story from apparently beyond the grave, so she's already dead when the movie starts. I'm not ruining anything there. But the movie's pacing and sort of escalation might sort of frustrate people who are sort of craving more showy jump scares. But man, I think the atmosphere in this film is thick and rotting and just sort of nasty, and I loved it. And it does have a couple really genuinely scary moments, but it's more about trying to figure out who there's a ghost there, that and we're trying to figure out who it is and how she died and whether she's even a real person or just a fictional creation. It's really cool. This guy's like the real deal in terms of directors and visionary directors, and I hope he gets to make another movie soon.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen this, but I love The Black Coat's Daughter. I love that movie, and I'm looking forward to checking this out. It's on Netflix, and it's available now.
I think it went right to Netflix, pretty much, but it is a worthy follow-up, for sure.
Well, I mean, but Black Coat's, if it's anything like Black Coat's Daughter, man, I'm all over it, because I just think that movie is great. Okay, Eric, China Moon.
Yeah, this one really leapt out at me that I wanted to recommend. That's also on Amazon Prime. It stars Ed Harris as sort of a real kind of tough by the book cop. His partner is played by a very young Benicio del Toro, his protege, and all of his training and all of his instincts he has to basically confront when he gets involved with a woman played by Madeline Stowe, who is very well off but is in a pretty bad marriage to a kind of an abusive guy. The two of them fall in love, and needless to say, things sort of go the way of Body Heat in this, but in surprising different ways. I love anytime you get a chance for Ed Harris to have a lead role. He's pretty great in this. It's great to see Del Toro in a very young role. This one, not many people know of this one, and I leap at a chance to recommend this one to people.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie. God, I haven't seen it in years. I have not seen
great,
it. In
great
years.
Noir film.
Yeah, it's a really really good film. And as you said, Eric, anytime Ed Harris is given a lead, it's I mean, he rules. So okay. All right. Steve, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Now you're going with the 2011.
Yeah, I mean look, if you're looking for just like a good old fashioned mystery movie, you can always go back. One of the sources is tried and true spy genre, and because it's literally, you know, like the spy's life is literally about secrets and misdirection and mysteries and about themselves, and watching them deceive people is often, or as often as thrilling as watching them try to catch people. So, and this is sort of set in the heart of the Cold War. It's directed by Thomas Alfredson, who did Let the Right One In just before this. And it's sort of an immaculately executed adaptation of John le Carré's spy novel. And man, it just unfolds with the same sort of meticulous pacing and propulsive, menacing energy that Let the Right One had. And this time around, like, it's just like a twist a minute, and the hunt for this sort of Russian agent embedded in MI6. And there's, again, cast. Gary Oldman is sort of the head of this thing, one of the best things I think he's ever done. Tom Hardy, Cumberbatch is here, the late John Hurt, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, Kieran Hines. I mean, it just keeps going and going. So, yeah, I mean, if anything, it's just like wonderful to see all these guys in the same place, but it also happens to be a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, Eric, Steve, hang on. We're going to talk to Eric and Steve, and we'll give you some more titles for thrillers that you can binge while you're stuck at home. And lots of good ones out there, thrillers and mysteries. 312-981-7200.
WGN. Hey, it's Bob Surratt. Once again, I get up early. Let's start the Chicagoland Day together every weekday morning, 5 to 9.
With coronavirus spreading, now is the time to take steps to protect you and your family and slow the spread of coronavirus. Do your part to help in this fight. How? Stay home. Staying home during the coronavirus outbreak saves lives, because people who don't have any symptoms can still spread the virus without knowing it. Stay home and tackle those spring projects. Organize your closet, try a new recipe, or virtually chat with your book club. Practice healthy distancing. If you do have to go out, stay 6 feet or 2 arm lengths away from others. Avoid touching your face. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds after you've been in a public place or after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. Join the fight and do your part to stop the spread of the coronavirus. To learn more, visit dupagehealth.org/COVID-19. Hashtag do your part, DuPage.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-630-1133. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-630-1133. 800-630-1133. That's 800-630-1133.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's breeze. My lady love, with love that's tender as a baby's touch, you give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love.
Lou Rawls, man.
Your love is cooling like the winter snow.
Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Steve Procopi and Eric Childress are here, and everybody's stuck inside, so we're telling you about some suggestions for thrillers or mysteries to watch. You can binge watch while you're stuck inside. And Eric Childress, Eric is here. Hi, Eric. And Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Okay, Eric, let's go back to your choices. Also available on Prime, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yep.
And my favorite Coppola movie of all time, The Conversation.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with any of that, and it's almost unfair to even mention any other movies after this. But the conversation with Gene Hackman, you know, one of the great movies you said of all time, certainly, obviously, of the 1970s. Movie, in a way, about another invisible enemy, that is paranoia. You know, this was clearly a metaphor for the Watergate era, and Gene Hackman as this surveillance expert that may or may not have, you know, heard a murder on one of his jobs, and the sort of the paranoia, you know, trying to figure out exactly what happened and whether or not he himself becomes a target. This is an immensely layered, dense, beautiful piece of work with Gene Hackman. Just, oh my God, just pure 1970s Gene Hackman. Anytime I mention his name, I think about all the years we've lost not having a Gene Hackman performance since Welcome to Mooseport. But sorry to even mention that name in the conversation.
Yeah.
But the conversation, one of the greatest.
It's my favorite Gene Hackman performance, and that's saying a lot, considering how great Gene Hackman is. But also, you know, you got to mention John Cazale. Guy only made, he passed away at a young age, and he only made five movies. And these are the five movies he made. He made The Godfather. He was in The Godfather Part Two. He was in The Conversation. He was in The Deer Hunter and Dog
Day Afternoon.
So I mean,
all of them nominated for Best Picture.
I mean, come on, man.
I mean, if you're gonna go out, do it like that.
Yeah, amazing. But yeah, no, The Conversation is one of my favorite movies. It's definitely my favorite Coppola film. So that's a great choice. Okay,
right. I should mention that this restored version of this of The Conversation was supposed to open at the Music Box this month.
Oh.
And I don't know. I think they just pushed it back, so I don't think it's out of the question. But it was one of the films that got sacrificed. So.
By the way, Tom and I both just went, oh!
I know.
With our hands up in the air. No!
There was going to be a big national push for this, like, re-release. So, yeah, it was going to be a big deal. And it might. I think it's still going to happen. And I think we might have even had a 35 print of it. But anyway.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, this we got to just keep pushing for them to still do that when things clear up, because I wanted to see it really bad.
Jeez, man. Oh,
yeah.
That's a must-see.
Yep.
Without question. Okay, your next one is Steve's Small Town Crime.
Yeah, this is just from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think Eric and I saw it together at South by Southwest in 2017. But the Nelms brothers kind of have this brilliant indie procedural thing, and it's among one of the more egregiously overlooked films in recent memory, I think. It stars indie darling John Hawks as a disgraced alcoholic cop out to redeem himself by solving a murderer of a mysterious Jane Doe. Like I said, it was given. It was given sort of a pathetic theatrical release. I don't think in Chicago, but it wasn't until like the following year. But the film sort of weirdly subverts and embraces all of the sort of crime drama mystery tropes, and they kind of just embrace it, and it still makes it feel fresh and vital and fun as any crime movie. Anthony Anderson, Octavia Spencer, Robert Forster, the late great, is in this. Clifton Collins Jr. is in it. I mean, it really does kind of announce these filmmakers as something really to look out for, I think. And I think actually the next film they're making or have made already, it's supposed to come out this year, is a sort of a dark Santa Claus thing called Fat Man starring Mel Gibson. So I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. Maybe it's one and done. Maybe it's another awesome film. Who knows? But Small Time Crime is a real kind of sleeper, and I think people should check it out.
It's a terrific movie. And a really, really good movie. And is it one of the last Robert Forrester?
The guy made like six movies a year. So, technically, yes, but he still had a lot after it. So
I miss that guy. I love Robert Forrester, man. He's just the best. He passed away last year, right? Robert Forrester?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Late last year, yeah.
Jeez.
It was funny. I don't know if you watch, either of you watch Better Call Saul, but he did show up in one of the
episodes. Yeah, he does.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. So,
listen, I'll tell you something, man. I love Robert Forrester, but man, Jackie Brown, I mean, come on.
I just saw it the other day.
That
performance, he's amazing.
He's unbelievable. And you know what? Alligator.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Awesome
black
movie.
Hole.
Yeah, please.
We're going there.
Robert Forrester, man. Oh. Oh.
I think it was it just this February actually that he just passed away, because he was in the El Camino Breaking Bad movie.
Oh, he was. Yeah, that's right.
Which
he was.
Which premiered like the day he died.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
in fact,
man.
No, you know what? I know it was last year because I asked Michael Shannon about working with him in that what was that movie where he played his dad from in Chicago?
What they had.
I had that interview with Michael Shannon when Knives Out came out. So it was late last year. You're right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Netflix is where your next one comes from, Eric.
Yeah.
The Score. You know that this is a movie that a lot of people don't like. I happen to like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously? Who are these people and where can I smack them?
Eric wants their names.
I want names. this is a fine movie. I don't know how you can dislike this movie. This is, Frank Oz's delving into thriller territory, heist territory, in a time when it seemed like there was a lot of heist movies coming out. I think this was the same year that Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 actually came out, although this came out during the summer. But it's Marlon Brando, Edward Norton, Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, Edward Norton, in a film about a pair of guys who team up to steal, to rob this scepter, or I think it was like a scepter or something like that, from this warehouse that's headed towards a museum. And the whole movie is just about them planning this heist, trying to put the thing together, whether or not they're going to double-cross each other in the end. And it's a really fun, meticulously crafted thriller piece, and with three fantastic actors. Marlon Brando not phoning it in, having great fun in his scenes with De Niro, and it's just I don't understand these people you speak of, Nick.
No, they do. there's a strong component of people who don't like this movie, and I don't quite understand it, because I think it's a terrific movie, but apparently Brando was a nightmare on the set.
Frank Oz likes the movie.
I don't even think Frank Oz is happy about this movie, but he kept referring to him as like Miss Piggy or something. He would never he would never call Frank Oz by his name. He wouldn't even speak to him. And at one point, Edward Norton was telling the story about, here he is, he's so excited because he's in this movie with Robert De Niro and Marlon Brando. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that.
Right.
And at one point, they were waiting for a shot to get set up, and here's Edward Norton sitting on the couch sitting on the chair between these two legends, and he looks over, and Marlon Brando is pouring a drink on his own shirt, and he looks over, and De Niro's asleep. So he's like, what's happening here? So, but despite that, I still think it's a terrific movie. I've always been a fan of it. Okay. All right, Steve, a more recent one here that you're choosing, a terrific movie, Knives Out.
I mean, I don't need to say anything about it. It's like one of my favorite movies from last year. And again, great cast, a really interesting take on a murder mystery, in that the murder isn't actually a mystery after about the first 30 minutes or so.
Right.
But the real mystery becomes, why is everyone in this family from this writer played by Christopher Plummer, why is everyone lying about their relationship with him when he died, and what they were doing and what was going on and in the family? And man, it's almost more of a family drama than a murder mystery. And I mean, just so many great people. And again, Michael Shannon's here, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ana de Armas, Lakeith Stanfield, like the list, Toni Collette, the list goes on and on. But Rian Johnson, just, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the guy hasn't made a bad movie. So, and this might be one of his best. So, people. And what I really liked about it is how, like, you could take your grandparents to go see it. Like, it just hit the exact right demographic, which was everybody. Everybody liked this movie, and it was safe for everybody. It wasn't like raunchy. It wasn't like too dirty. It was just like exactly right. It wasn't too bloody. So yeah, I mean, everyone went out and saw it.
Yeah, and it's a terrific movie. It's just really great, and a nice, everybody had a nice juicy role in it. I mean, Daniel Craig is fantastic. yeah. In it. And I'm a huge fan. Let's get a few more of yours, Steve, since you had more here. Your next one is Murder on the Orient Express, the original version.
The original. I mean, this is, again, cast. It's about the cast. And this particular film kind of sparked films like sort of comedic versions of it, like Murder by Death, which is also amazing. But but like it you just like takes this idea. This is set in December 35, and there's a train stopped by deep snow, and there's a murder, and Hercule Poirot, who's played by Albert Finney, is called on to solve this murder that occurred in his car the night before. And it sort of takes this concept of everyone is a suspect to a whole new level. And I think I said that, again, going back to the source, if you tell them the story like this, go to Agatha Christie. So, and they have a couple times now. So, but man, John Gielgud, Sean Connery, Ingrid Bergman, Lauren Bacall, Vanessa Redgrave. I mean, they're all here. Anthony Perkins is in this thing. So, it's just so, and they seriously, and Murder by Death, just as good for very different reasons and kind of genius. And I also love that Sidney Lumet made Murder on the Orient Express because it's not the kind of film he was making at the time. And yet it works because the guy's just in love with storytelling. So, and there's a lot of story here. And it takes like a great dark. That ending, when I first saw it, it floored me. Like, I was not expecting that. So, it's great.
It is terrific. Okay, guys, hang on. Let's get these guys, Eric and Steve. We're going to wrap it up afterwards and tell you a little bit more about some of the thrillers that you can watch while you're stuck at home on WGN here.
This is an important announcement for anyone who wants health insurance, even if you missed the deadline. That's right. Don't worry if you missed the deadline for open enrollment. Right now, you can get the health insurance you and your family need from top insurance providers, even if you have pre-existing conditions or no insurance at all. The Plus Benefits Health Insurance toll-free number has been extended to help anyone who wants health insurance coverage now, or anyone who just needs a better plan or a lower price. Did you miss the penalty deadline, have a baby, get married, or get dropped from your plan? Don't worry. Plans are available now, and in just minutes, we will help you find the right plan that's best for you and your budget. Call Plus Benefits Health Insurance now at 800-355-7207. The call is 100% free, and the help is real. You can finally get health insurance that's right for you. But hurry and get covered before it's too late.
Call 800-355-7207 now to get the best plan at the lowest price. Call 800-355-7207. That's 800-355-7207. 800-355-7207.
Do you have federal student loan debt? Kaplan Law Firm has the secret to lowering your monthly payment and eliminating thousands of dollars in federal student loan debt. If you work in the public sector, if you're a fireman, a police officer, a doctor, a nurse, you're likely qualified for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. Not in the public sector? Kaplan Law Firm can still help to reduce your monthly student loan payments. Give Ray Kaplan a call at 312-294-8989 or visit financialrelief.com.
During this unprecedented time, the need is great. That's why Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. You can help your local food bank without even leaving your home. Make a simple donation at feedingillinois.org/unite, or you can text FEEDIL to 91999. And for every dollar you donate, ConAgra Foods will match that gift up to $100,000. Your generous gift will help make sure families in our communities have enough to eat. Join Illinois broadcasters uniting against hunger.
Hey, rock em up, rock on, ooh, my soul. Hey, summertime blues, jump up and down in the blue suede shoes. Hey, dear, you rock and roll, rock on. And where do we go from here?
All right, David Essex, man. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Eric Childress and Steve Procopi join me every Monday morning to review new movies. And now that we're all stuck inside, giving you some suggestions on what movies that you should watch while you're in there. And we're talking about thrillers and mysteries. By the way, Marnie Schur is going to join us after 1 o'clock. She's editor-in-chief at The Takeout. Lots of food-related stories to talk about with Marnie. 312-981-7200. Also, as we always do, at 2:30 this morning, we will play some great comedy from the Johnny Carson Show. Johnny Carson Show you can watch on Antenna TV every night. And Tim Conway will be featured from 1988. Always funny, Tim Conway. Always. We are talking about thrillers and mysteries with Eric and Steve. Eric is
yes.
here, and Steve is here.
Hey there.
All right. Real quick, here's Ike on WGN. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right. What's up?
I have a very good suggestion. I'm sure you can find on demand in Amazon. This is a very good espionage cover-up thriller, a very classic. Speaking of Gene Hackman, also stars Kevin Costner, No Way Out.
Yeah, great movie. Yeah, No Way
Almost
Out.
Almost on my list. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great, 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 great suggestion. Great suggestion. Thanks, Ike.
No problem.
All right, yeah. That's a good movie, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's see. A couple more of yours. Get these in here real quick. Mm-hmm. You got Clue.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a board game. It's funny. It's, again, amazing cast. Yeah, and just like, and it's that did that weird thing where depending on when and where you saw it, you had three different endings that
yep.
you might see. So, yeah, so you didn't know which one you were going to see, unfortunately. Although I seem to remember them actually eventually saying, oh, you get ending A if you go at these times, you get ending
right.
B if you go at these
yeah.
times. Like,
that's
so
exactly
eventually
what it was.
They did give way.
That's what it was. It was, it was ending A, B, or C, and it depended
yeah.
on the theater that you went to.
Yeah.
And the idea was that they were hoping people would go back and see it, you know, a second and third time, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
God, Tim Curry, though. Oh,
yeah.
Tim Curry.
Oh, yeah.
He's so
yeah.
good. Okay, how about this one, Brick, Steve?
Well, I didn't want to put necessarily two Rian Johnson films on here, but this is his first feature. It sort of made it very clear the guy knew how to write mystery. This is his sort of high school take on the film noir with Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the de facto detective. And yeah, it's just the use of language here is very sort of old school, but in a very new school kind of story. And Lucas Haas really
yeah.
coming through in like a terrifying performance.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knew he had it in it? But it's a great little drug dealer story, and it kind of brought Joseph Gordon-Levitt into the adult world in
absolutely.
A lot of ways. So.
No, there's no question about it. It was a transforming role for him,
mm-hmm.
I think. And now your next one that you pick is an insanely underappreciated movie.
Yeah. I think lately it's sort of gotten its due fine. People are finally figuring out how great it is.
Yeah,
but
it's Zodiac, yeah.
Fincher's Zodiac, yeah. Again, like Downey Jr., Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, you know, it's just this incredible, and then a really wonderfully haunting performance by John Carroll Lynch.
Yep.
But yeah, just about the reporters and the police who were sort of tormented and sort of possessed by this search for this Bay Area serial killer. Yeah, it's a great book it's based on, and it's a terrific film.
Yeah, and it's really a shame that, like, when it came out, it bombed.
Yeah.
Which is just a shame. And I know that people, we were just saying, that I think people now appreciate it more than they did, certainly
yeah.
when it came out. But, man, it's a great film. It's a great
yeah.
film.
Mm-hmm.
And then your next one is, you know, a classic, Memento.
It's weird how many people haven't seen Memento, even with Christopher Nolan being as popular as he is now. But it kind of was the breakthrough film for him, and it chronicles these sort of two separate stories of this guy named Leonard, who's played by Guy Pearce, who's like an ex-insurance investigator, and he can't build new memories because he got hit in the head or something, and he attempts to find the murder of his wife, and when he wakes up each new day, he can't remember what happened before. So it's a crazy, like, there's a new story, then there's the old story, and they kind of meet in the middle. It's weird backward storytelling thing you'll ever see.
Yeah, I remember just how much of an impact this movie made when people saw it. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of a game changer. I remember seeing it at the Music Box, and I was just like, man, this is the deal.
And it was right when DVDs were, like, starting to
yeah.
come, and people, like, please, and somewhere on there is, like, an Easter egg where you can watch it in chronological order.
I know,
think
yeah.
it would be as interesting.
No, I have watched it in chronological order,
yeah.
and it's weird. It just doesn't,
yeah.
it doesn't work. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, all right, Eric, let's get back to you, one of my favorite directors of all time.
Of course.
is on your list here, and that's What Lies Beneath. I love this movie, and I love the fact that it was just a lark. Like,
yeah.
he did it because Tom Hanks had to gain weight or lose weight or whatever it was for Castaway. So they were on a break from Castaway, so he's just like, yeah, okay, I'll just make this movie.
Yeah, he negotiated this deal with both Fox and DreamWorks that, you know, we'll do this Castaway, but this is how I want to do it, and in between, I'll just make another movie for you.
Yeah.
And so they did, like, two co-productions of these two movies, and, you know, he did a Hitchcock movie if Hitchcock had the tools of today.
Right.
Namely, you know, new camera techniques and special effects and stuff, and, you know, it's the movie that he proclaims is the movie that Hitchcock would have made.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some people resent the movie. I know this movie definitely has its haters, but the more you watch this movie and the more that I've seen it over the years, I mean, again, the craftsmanship on display is just insane.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of goes without saying. When you're talking about Zemeckis, that just gets a given.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer particularly is so good in this movie, and it shifts, you know, genres in a way that is very clever. It's almost like watching two movies for the price of one, and the third act is just a knockout.
It's great. And Remar.
Oh, yeah. James Remar.
Yeah. All right. We got to speed this up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's go 12 Angry Men, and it's the original or the Friedkin?
The original, the 57, the Lumet. 57. Again, Lumet. We're back to Lumet.
Yeah.
More the sort of stuff we were used to him seeing, but it's, you know, it's a weird murder mystery because it's about disproving who killed somebody instead of proving who killed somebody, which is a really great take on it. But it's also about racism. It's about, like, all sorts of, it's a microcosm of America in this little room. And Henry Fonda, and in particular Lee J. Cobb, is astonishing in this film. He just completely breaks down. And it was a great, like, had the pulse on America when this movie was made.
Terrific
and the play that was based on, yeah.
Yep. Blue Ruin is your next one, Eric.
Yeah, and this one, Jeremy Saulnier, who also did the Great Green Room as a follow-up, this really just slick, crazy, low-budget revenge thriller that, again, is done sort of in, like, three separate vignettes in a way, the three different potential victims of Macon Blair, on this revenge take, which, you know, you find out the details of. It's violent, it's quirky, it's a lot of fun, so definitely check that one out.
Okay, again, just going to rattle off these titles, Steve. We got Gone Baby Gone, which is a really good movie. Shutter Island, which is, I think, one of the most underrated Scorsese movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And Primal Fear, which, of course, was shot right here in Chicago, and it was the incredible debut of Edward Norton.
One of the best debuts, I think, of any actor ever.
No question.
What a calling card.
No question.
Yeah, yeah.
Parasite is next on your list, Eric, which is a fantastic movie that I think a lot of people are checking out right now.
Yeah, just broke Hulu's, like, streaming records or something.
Yeah, I mean, because, the way it took over at the Oscars, man, amazing.
Yeah.
And then here's a great one. I'm glad you chose it, Eric. Phone Booth with Colin Farrell. I love that movie.
Joel Schumacher certainly has a spotty resume, but, you know, if you're doing, like, a top five list of Schumacher films with a Larry Cohen script, this is certainly one of them. And Colin Farrell and just the voice of Kiefer Sutherland.
Right.
It's such a tight little the thriller.
It's a beautifully made movie. And you know, Colin Farrell's got to carry the whole thing.
Yes.
And he's terrific in it. And Kiefer Sutherland's fantastic on the phone. He's great. And I can't remember who the original actor was.
Jim Carrey.
Was Jim Carrey did the voice for the...
No, well, the Jim Carrey was supposed to play the Colin Farrell role.
Well, who did the voice? Because originally it was another...
They had someone else who did the voice and they replaced it.
They replaced
him
with Kiefer Sutherland.
That's correct. You're right. And they didn't want Kiefer Sutherland because... But then 24 happened.
Oh,
and all
right.
And he became viable again.
Right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, these are all great, great choices, guys. Thanks very much. Stay safe. Stay home, okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you next week. That's Eric Childress and Steve Procopi. We've got the news coming up on 720 WGN.
Chicago's very own WGN Radio Chicago.
Hi, this is Bob Newhart. I'm talking to my favorite city and my favorite town in the whole world, and that, of course, is Chicago. The coronavirus can affect people of all ages, but it's older adults that are the most vulnerable. One of the most important things seniors can do is to take extra measures to put distance between yourself and other people to further reduce the risk of being exposed. You should also consider ways of getting food and other necessities brought to your house through family or friends. Contact your health care provider to ask about obtaining extra necessary medication to have on hand. The most important, if you have kids or grandkids, as I do, in fact, 10 of them, the safest to limit them to virtual visits, either through video calls, over the phone, or just a loving wave through the front window. Together, but also apart, families across America can help keep our generation safe and healthy. And thank you for listening to WGN.
Bob Newhart, you gotta love him. Marnie Schur is the editor-in-chief at The Takeout. We're going to talk a lot of food stories here on WGN.
In a time of need, the information station for the Great Midwest.